Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Hey everybody, Steve here. As we recently announced, we are no longer producing new episodes of the podcast, but we did have content that we had recorded that we had not put into the regular feed for everybody to hear, and we wanted to share that with you, of course. So what you're hearing here is one of those episodes of Down the Rabbit Hole that hadn't gone out into the regular feed and had only previously been available through the premium service. So enjoy, and thanks a lot.
Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by Hamlet, the series, starring Keanu Reeves. No, instead, it is brought to you by your local cat and dog shelter. Yeah, which is filled to the brim with wonderful little animals who would love to go home with you. And they really do need your help, so really think about going down there and adopting. And if you can't do that, they could always use contributions, whether it's money or just your time. They need volunteers. So help those little critters out today.
Thinking Sideways. Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
I don't understand. What?
Down the rabbit hole.
Thinking Sideways.
Question, question.
Down the rabbit hole.
Thinking Sideways.
Devin.
Steve.
Joe.
Down the rabbit hole.
Dean Chow, and welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, Down the Rabbit Hole. I am Steve, of course, joined by...
Devin.
And Joe.
And welcome to another bonus episode, because that's what Down the Rabbit Hole is for our premium members. This week we don't have a mystery for you. We have something completely different.
We have a little, it's a little bit of a mystery.
It's a little like...
What were you doing? Is that the mystery?
The mystery is... Who cares? I'm kidding.
Well, okay,
I'm kidding. It is actually really interesting.
Yeah. So here's the deal. For those of you who don't know, I recently just got back from a several-week trip to Vietnam and Cambodia, and I had a lot of fun, and I've told these two, Devin and Joe, about my experiences. And
you have, but you haven't showed us any friggin' pictures yet, I've noticed.
Oh, you liar. I have totally showed you pictures.
Yeah.
But
you just have to follow him on social media.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do.
There's still coming out. But the point is, one of the things that I did is I had traveled overseas a couple of years ago, and about a year later, I realized that I was looking at pictures and I couldn't remember details, and I wanted to be able to remember those details. So I sat down and I started just kind of stream of consciousness writing different things that I remembered about my trip.
Like the tiger cages, the torture.
Yeah, none of that, but no. you got the right idea. Yeah. So that I could recall it and I could look at it later on and say, oh yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, instead of years later going, I remember I saw this thing, but I don't remember anything about it. And I've shared that with you two.
Yeah.
And I could just sit here and wax philosophical for 20 minutes about my trip and you'd be bored out of your gourds.
Yeah, pretty much.
And,
yeah.
Well, while our listeners might be interested, yeah, you two would be bored, and that's not fair to do to you because I'm a team player. So I sent this to you. We talked about this. I know there's questions or things that you found fun or funny, so I'm going to let you two kind of start off the conversation or questions, and then we'll just kind of roll it from there. Does that work for you guys?
Devin, do you have any questions?
You had a list of things you saw on scooters?
Yeah.
Well,
I wanted to say
that was energetic. Thanks, guys.
I wanted to say that,
that
most, you know, having traveled a bit in the third world myself, modes of transportation are always fascinating in some of these places that you go
they
to.
They are.
Yeah, they are. But yeah, so what is the most outrageous scooter incident you saw?
Okay, so, well, let's start with scooters, because that is the main form of transportation, because while there are some cars, it turns out the import tax on cars to Vietnam is huge. So only the rich have it, and rich are usually high-powered political figures, because it's a communist country. It's the way it works. Everybody's poor.
Everybody's equal.
So everybody has a scooter or rents a scooter. So Uber is on scooters, by the way, and there's another one called Grab, which I liked. But you have to take everything you buy somewhere on a scooter. That's how you get it home. And I have a list of things here, which let's just run down this because this is fun. Things on scooters. Half a dozen pigs in a cage. And by that, I mean like 30, 40-pound pigs.
Wow.
In a cage on the back of a scooter. Yeah. There was about a half dozen squeezed in there. I think you guys saw that picture.
Yep.
You two here. There were families, entire families on scooters. So it would be parent driving the scooter with a child in front of them on some kind of makeshift child seat, unless they were teenage and then they could stand on their own on the floorboard. Child behind that driver parent, and then the other parent behind that child to kind of sandwich the youngest one in between them. So entire families, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Oh, construction. Construction is done using normal materials like concrete and wood and metals and rebars and poles. You see all of that carried by the driver or their passenger.
On the scooter.
On the scooter. Nothing funnier than somebody with a 20-foot piece of metal running length of the vehicle, and they are driving through
and
traffic.
And sticking way out either end, too.
Either end. And by the way, traffic is dense, as in there are scooters packed up against each other. So imagine being the guy with the javelin riding on a scooter.
That's just an accident waiting to happen. That sounds painful.
I only saw one. I saw 1.5 accidents my entire time there, so they're used to this stuff. Let's see. Oh, I love this. People have pets. So they have dogs. Dogs are kind of a favored thing, it appears. And so they have little baskets on the front of their scooters. So you see dogs in that. But it's great when you see a full-size dog, like a Malamute Husky on a scooter.
That's a big dog.
Standing side saddle on the floor. The foot rail. You know, sideways, looking forward, tail blowing back.
I hope the little guy's not burning himself with a tailpipe or anything like that.
That dog. Well, no, I think he was, because there's a human between him and the tailpipes.
So
he was okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I saw a guy driving once holding a door. The passenger, by the way. You know, a door to a house.
Yeah.
Straight up and down. So driver, door, straight up and down.
You mean he was holding it up so that it was catching the wind?
Totally.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, totally.
Like a sail.
Like a sail. He was in the city, so they were maybe doing 15 or 20 miles an hour.
That's a lot of wind.
It's a lot of wind.
I think I would have held it the other door, like 90 degrees to that.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I saw there is, of course, everybody has a cell phone, just like here.
They
all have cell phones. So nothing was funnier to me than seeing people driving a scooter, talking on their cell phone, but even better, reading, there's texting. There's texting in a car is dumb and dangerous, and you shouldn't do it. But
even
just think about somebody
scarier.
Doing it on a scooter.
Yeah.
Now, I was actually not that long ago. I was here right in Portland, and it was behind some guy in a scooter. And he's just buzzing along, and all of a sudden I see him reach into his pocket and pull his phone out, and he's looking and looks down at it. I don't think he wasn't actually texting back.
Oh, these
but
people
he was
were
checking
definitely
his
texting.
Phone. Yeah,
definitely
I know it's
texting.
Crazy, but you know that's one of the fun things about traveling in some of these places is like the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of my favorite things to me that when I was in Bolivia some years back. Everybody down there has, if you have a car, which very few people have, but most people have those Toyota minivans, you know, they're like same size and shape as a Volkswagen bus.
Yeah, they're like seven people according to the seating arrangement.
Yeah, except in Bolivia, it turns out, people are much smaller in Bolivia and have shorter legs, so they actually squeeze an extra bench in every one of those. And so there's sort of a privatized transportation system in the cities like in La Paz and stuff. But I caught this ride to Lake Titicaca with my friends, and I was crammed into the back, and we had all of our stuff strapped to the top and everything. And at one point, I counted the number of people in there, and they were, including the driver in the past and the front passenger, there were 17 people inside that thing. And also some boxes and a dog inside that thing. Yeah, I'm not fooling. And it was the most uncomfortable ride of my life because the bench in front of me was so close that when I got in, I shifted both of my legs were tight together, and I shifted them to the left. There was no moving my legs.
You were
and
done.
I was done. And they were squeezed tight together, so I was seriously wondering if I was going to be sterile after the end of this thing. And it was the worst, the most uncomfortable ride ever. And I've been on others. That was just the best or the worst, depending.
Oh, that's
funny. That's one of the fun things about traveling in some of those parts of the world, though.
Oh, that's great. Well, Joe, since Devin... I think you asked the first question. So, Joe, what's the next question out of the ramblings of Vietnam?
Oh, my God, the ramblings of Vietnam. Did you see any cool cool war stuff? Like, did you see some of the cool tunnel complexes that they built?
So I did not go into the tunnel complexes. You could go to a place where you literally had to crawl on your hands and knees. And I wasn't interested in that. I did go to the Vietnam War Memorial, which is a three-story building. I sent you guys photos of all the aircraft outside. They were U.S. aircraft that had been left behind when they left Saigon.
Yeah.
Which is funny is they renamed it Ho Chi Minh City, but everybody still calls it Saigon except on paper, which is hilarious. But I went to that, and that was really, really interesting because I went in not having this sense of American guilt. I didn't go in thinking that, and I didn't come out thinking that either. But what I did find really interesting was the way... It's your typical museum. Giant text placards and images. Oh, I did see Kappa, Robert Kappa. He was his image and his story was there, which was interesting, along with dozens of other photographers that died in the war on both sides.
Yeah.
But what I did find really interesting was the way they described things. So all of the North Vietnamese that died in the war were repeatedly referred to as patriots, which for the winning side makes sense, except the word was used so prevalently. There was the puppet government, which was referred to as the South Vietnamese government that was set up by the U.S.
Was this stuff, by the way, in English as well as Vietnamese?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It was all in English. It was not in Vietnamese. It was set up for Western tourists.
Ah, okay.
But there was the puppet government. There was, I think the word oppressors was in there. There was some very strong worded language that wasn't inflammatory, but it was very interesting the way it was written that it definitely was saying, you people came in, the Americans were terrible, the French sucked too, but the Americans were horrid. But it was,
French were pretty horrid too. But,
well,
you know,
they were. I mean, they did some bad things. But it was very interesting. It was a three-story complex. I didn't spend a whole lot of time in the Agent Orange room. That was...
Surprise.
Yeah, well, you know, was there a fine box? Was there a bit much for me?
Was it what?
The fetus in a box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Formaldehyde box. Yeah, it was pretty.
That sounds kind of gross. Yeah,
but other than that, so that was the war stuff. And then they had, like I said before, I sent you guys photos of
the planes,
and the helicopters that had been left behind. They put those outside. If you travel around the city, though, there are fighter planes and helicopters and different military equipment in Hanoi and more so in Saigon. Actually, it's mostly in Saigon that is on display as kind of general memorial stuff of look what we did. Although it was just the 50-year anniversary, so a lot of that stuff was really prevalent.
Mm.
Yeah. It made sense that they'd probably been putting those installations up. I'm guessing the tanks have always been there, but the placards and the billboards and stuff like that seem to be newer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It sounds to me like they're pretty much over it, though.
I wouldn't say they were over. They were celebrating that they were victorious and they freed their nation from, you know, these people who came in and took over. I mean, was the word insurgent? No, it wasn't. It was oppressor. But the French came in, and they kicked the French out. And then the Americans came in, and look how terrible they were. And,
Well, we kind of came in.
I'm not knocking the Vietnamese for
saying that. Our motives for coming into the country were a little different than the French were, though. The French actually did colonize the place.
Uh-huh.
Whereas we came in and took over from the French just because by that time, you know, the communists were trying to take over the country. So our motivations were a little bit different.
And maybe a tad bit misplaced. But this isn't a political forum, so
we can talk about that again sometime. But
I was thinking about like the pictures you posted and stuff, and I was feeling like there are a lot of people wearing the, like you see in Japan as well, the like masks, the medical masks.
The face masks.
Yeah. Like the medical one.
Because
of all the smog and everything.
So Devin is talking about in the late 90s, early 2000s, around the time the bird flu happened, you would see those photos of people in the Asian world wearing those masks, presumably to stop catching the flu, which is stupid because they don't work, because unless it's hermetically sealed to your face and you're breathing fresh air, that doesn't work. But the point is that people now in Asia are running around all the time with them, and it's totally because of how dirty the air is.
Mm-hmm.
I was there in March, and it was getting to be warm, and so it was dusty. It is smoggy because they don't have emissions controls, as I can tell. Mm-hmm. So everybody's running around in scooters, which aren't the cleanest burning vehicles in the world. But the masks are hilarious for a couple of reasons. One, because people wear them everywhere, not just on their scooter, but you will see them walking around. You'll see them in buildings and businesses.
Even indoors they wear them?
Yeah, it's kind of, I put it on, it's like wearing a hat. I put it on and I forgot it was there. Mm. And so I'm just wearing it. The other thing is that there's the basic medical style, the papery ones with the elastic band.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of them that are fabric. And I get the feeling that they might have some kind of like charcoal liner in them.
Yeah.
And they have fabric on them that is different prints. So Hello Kitty or dot patterns or plaid patterns or anything that you can think of that's a fabric pattern on these masks. And so you just see people rolling around in them the time.
Yeah, I think like a skull with teeth would be kind of cool.
I bet you if I'd looked long enough, I would have seen that.
Yeah.
You know what I was really surprised I didn't see? Everybody wears helmets. Like, everybody has helmets on, and sometimes they're not the best helmets.
In traffic or pedestrians too?
In traffic.
Okay.
When they're driving scooters.
Mm.
But in open-topped vehicles, they also seem to wear helmets as well, like dump trucks that don't have a cab top on them. I saw guys wearing helmets.
Mm.
But what's funny is that they're not all motorcycle or scooter-style helmets. Some of them are obviously bicycle helmets. As in, the law is you have to have a helmet on.
And it's better than nothing, right?
It is better than nothing.
Yeah.
What I was really surprised was is that here, you see kids and young adults always running around with the helmets that have the faux mohawk on them.
Yeah.
I didn't see one anywhere, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to make my fortune in Vietnam by showing up with a helmet with bristles on it and selling them on the street corner, and they're going to go like hotcakes.
Probably.
Yeah, it looked like a Roman centurion or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or who was it? I guess it was the Trojans that wore those funny, those cool little helmets with the brush on top.
I think it was the Trojans,
on top. Yeah,
not the Romans.
It was,
but
those
I'm not
guys.
Sure. Don't write us an angry email.
The Romans did as well.
Did they really? Okay. Yeah.
So with the red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's cool. You know, if you can wear a helmet, you might as well be stylish about it, right?
Yeah. That was a big thing back in the day. Stylish, crazy helmets.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's how you set yourself apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, let's all take a break from all this talk about helmets and safety and have a quick word from our sponsor. What do you say, guys?
Yay!
All right.
When a young girl disappears in rural Wind Gap, Missouri, reporter Camille Preaker is sent to investigate whether the case is linked to an unsolved murder. From the author of Gone Girl, the producer of Get Out, and the director of Big Little Lies comes HBO's limited series Sharp Objects, based on the novel by Gillian Flynn. Amy Adams stars as reporter Camille Preaker, whose proximity to the investigation, her chilly mother, and mysterious half-sister bring her own scars to the surface. Hailed as Spellbinding, Addictive Immersion into a Dark Small Town Mystery by IndieWire, and The Most Captivating Show of the Summer by Time, Sharp Objects also features Patricia Clarkson, Chris Messina, and Eliza Scanlon. See new episodes every Sunday at 9 and catch up on HBO Now.
All right, let's get back into the traffic. But you were talking about, like, traffic, you know, and when I was, like, you know, in Latin America, I noticed the relationship between drivers and pedestrians is much different than it is here in Portland. And
I think it's that way most of the world, because even, in Italy, it's like that, and that's, comparably developed country.
I know, here in Portland, the attitude is, what can I do for you? What can I do for you, wonderful pedestrian? Over there, it's get the hell out of my way.
Well, actually, even most places in America, it's like that as well.
Probably.
The West Coast is pretty pedestrian friendly.
Yeah, but in Latin America, it's especially more so. It's like you're fair game. If you're still in the street when the light changes, you're fair game.
So the funny thing is that my boss had been to Vietnam about 4 or 5 years ago, and when I got back, she said, do they actually follow the stop signals? Do they actually follow the lights, or do they just keep going? Because when I was there, nobody paid attention to the lights. When I was there, people paid attention to the lights, but there appears to be more cars on the road because they're reducing the tariffs on vehicles. But as a pedestrian, the rule is once you start, you don't stop, and you stay at a consistent speed. So you have to look, you have to make eye contact with everybody coming at you. But if you keep moving at a steady pace forward, and you don't run
No unpredictable motions.
If you are not erratic in your behavior, they will go around you. And I have waded through streets that were bumper to bumper scooters inside, and they just kind of make room and you walk through. And I had a friend though that she's like, I have to close my eyes and just go. And at one point I was next to her and she looked up and she saw scooters coming and she stopped. And I had to reach out, and I was behind her, put my hand on the small of her back and give
just
her a
keep
boost.
Keep going.
Just don't stop. Don't stop. Until we got to the other side of the road. So they're good about it if you're good about it in Southeast Asia.
Just hope you don't get, like, you know, have an encounter with that guy that's carrying the 20-foot-long piece of pipe, because that would suck.
That guy tends to go slower. And it's funny, is the way traffic appears to be is that I worry about the people that are in front of me and directly to my left and right in my field of view. And I don't give a crap about the people behind me. So if you are going to turn, the blinkers don't count. You just start turning. But you start turning and going rather slowly. And then the traffic behind you all pools around you and gets out, and you're able. So the guy with the long board starts making a right-hand turn, and he just slows down, but he goes. And the stream just opens up around him and closes behind him.
That is the thing, is, you know, and here in America, it's, you know, driving on the streets is very, very regulated. There's tons of signs everywhere, tons of rules. Uh-huh. You know, there's actually been a few European cities that have tried taking away traffic controls, signs, lights, and everything. It actually works out, because it turns out people can figure it out. Just like in some of these places in the third world. There are very few, like, you know, I was in Mexico many years ago, like, and And there were no lights or stop signs or anything at these city intersections. And what would happen is that all the traffic would just go, and there'd be this stream of cars. And meantime, at the cross street, all those people there just sort of accumulate. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, it sort of thins out, the stream thins out, and then somebody just sort of forces his way out into there in that stream. And then those guys, this first stream has to stop when everybody else goes.
Yeah.
You know, and then when that starts to thin out, then these guys force their way
it's
through.
An ebb and flow.
Just, yeah, and you don't need lights. It just works, you know?
It does.
So, yeah, and people figure it out.
Yeah.
My favorite was that when we were pedestrians, I mean, we were pedestrians the whole damn time, but walking across an intersection in Hanoi that was a six-way intersection.
Mm.
It was three streets came in, there was about a 100-foot stretch, and then they split into three directions. So you never walked through that 100-foot stretch because it was too dense. Instead, it was easier to go to each of those three and make your way across them.
One at a time, yeah.
Yeah, but it was totally fun.
Mm.
I know we're getting close to time. The only other thing that I want to share is that I'm amazed that nobody's house just spontaneously burns down because of electrical fires there.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think you guys have seen the photo, but power poles, these concrete deals that go up, they look almost like cinder block towers, but it is a literal spider web's rat's nest of wires going in every direction.
Oh, yeah.
And there are multiple power boxes on the pole. And it turns out that the reasoning for this is that it's a communist country and they all own it and they all help. So when Devin's power goes out, Joe and Steve get together, crawl up there, and we figure out how to wire new power to Devin's apartment, but we don't know what caused the short, and we also don't know which of the other four boxes on that pole are live anymore, let alone which wires are power or communication wires.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes this, I kid you not, dense web. There's an artist out there, she does these really crazy installations where she uses fishing nets, like shrimp nets. And I think I saw it in one of the airports, but she's got the installations all over the U.S. And she makes these crazy amorphous shapes by putting these fishing nets in, you know, it'll drape down in kind of a W shape and then pull back up on itself and then pull back out. And there's all this complex layering, and you look up and it's just strings going everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is what it looks like when you look up at just about any intersection in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So
because
crazy.
There are so many wires going everywhere.
Yeah, is there also power pirating going on? Are people just sort of splicing in and getting free power?
I'm sure that there is. I saw guys in jumpsuits that obviously were the power company four times working on things, but they were always on a ladder. It wasn't, you know, as if they were working up high in the nest. They were working low on a box. But I'm sure that people are stealing power and they're stealing cable all the time.
Oh yeah, well, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how are you going to track it, though?
You're not.
It's such a freaking mess. How
nobody knows where the
it?
Line goes anymore, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you really can't bust everybody. I mean, millions of people are doing it, I'm sure. So, you know.
Exactly.
All right.
We're getting close to time. Do you guys have any other random little questions?
Yeah, like you had a good time. I mean,
I'm jealous.
I was like, I know that I was for a while, I was sort of planning a trip through Southeast Asia, and there's this one place, it was just outside of Phnom Penh.
Oh, in Cambodia.
And they had, you probably didn't go to this place, but this place, I found it in the Lonely Planet guide. And it was cool. They had like a lot of leftover relics from the wars. Then there's not, besides the Vietnam War, of course,
there's
Cambodia
tons of wars
too.
There, so yeah.
Yeah. And so you could go there and you could shoot a fully automatic AK for a price. and if you wanted to pay even more, you could actually maybe toss a live hand grenade. You know, there's all kinds of cool stuff. You didn't do any of that, did you?
No. When I was in Cambodia, we went to Siem Reap and went to Angkor Wat and spent three or four days touring those 1,000-year-old ruins.
Oh my God, how could you not?
And then we went to Sihanoukville, which is on the coast, and hung out on the beach. So I didn't do any of that, but I know that there are all kinds of things like that. But there's all kinds of things like that in Laos, in Vietnam. Well, I don't think you can shoot guns and blow stuff up in Vietnam as easily, but I'm sure you could in Cambodia. And then Thailand is... I haven't been to Thailand. From what I understand, it's kind of the weirder, darker, everything happens kind of place in terms of, I mean, there's tons of backpackers, and I found tons of backpackers. I mean, I ended up in backpacker alleys, but it seems that that's more of a Wild West scenario in Thailand.
It is kind of an anything goes place. It's definitely, you know, the place to go if you want to catch AIDS. I mean, yeah, it is. You guys don't want to talk about that? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that necessarily is true. I mean, anywhere that you go that you're being foolish and not protecting yourself.
Oh, for sure. No, I guess. But apparently it's a big, like, sort of sex tourism destination for a lot of people, a lot of Europeans.
Yeah, well,
I guess what
I meant by the Wild West was more of people just go and they get wasted and the locals consider all tourists as marks.
Well, it was
after you all the time.
I mean, it was this kind of like undiscovered paradise for a while. It's my understanding that more and more, like with every passing year, it's becoming more and more touristy.
This is what I hear.
It's really westernizing a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are getting worse. Because for a while, it was like you could go, you get an Airbnb for like literally $15 for an entire month, right? That's your whole rent. And you just live right on, you know, everything's super, super cheap. You live right on the river. You live this, like, crazy Instagram life. And it's super cheap and, like, you know, totally
and that's
dreamy.
Going away.
And
that's
but you just, can't do that as much.
No, yeah, it can't last, you know.
Better for Thailand, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is it when you... But I can say is that when I looked at the cost of the currency exchanges and the cost of things... This is a funny denomination thing. When you're in Cambodia, they use the rial, which is I think it's 4,000 rial to an American dollar. When you go to Vietnam, it's the Viet Dong, and the Viet Dong is 22,000 to one U.S. dollar.
That's one of
so you
weird
can see
ones.
How it's wow, it's what? So cheap. But it turns out real estate is absurdly expensive there. But even though I mean it is like millions of Viet Dong per square foot.
It's actually not that much.
It still turns out you can rent an apartment, a nice two-bedroom westernish apartment, not in the heart of Hanoi, but like on the outskirts, for $500 a month.
Yeah.
Try and find a nice two-bedroom apartment in the city of Portland for $500 and let me know what happens.
No, why don't you happen, even if you found a condemned 200 square foot closet, it would still cost more than $500.
Yeah, so it's understandable why this is appealing. But if you ever get anybody, you two or anybody listening, gets the chance to tour Southeast Asia, take the opportunity, do your research. I would recommend there are services out there that'll set up your visa for you because a lot of them are visa on entry, meaning you can't apply for your visa beforehand. You got to get it when you get there.
Yeah.
But you can hire a company, provide your docs, and just show up with your paperwork. You provide your documentation electronically. And when you show up, they got the little placard that says, your name here. And you say, that's me. And they say, great, sit over there, stupid guy. And then they say, come with me, stupid person. And they lead you to a line to a customs official with a completed package. And then they stamp, 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 and on the way you go. And it takes, it's very cheap, and it takes a lot of stress and worry out of your travels and allows you to enjoy your travels. Mm-hmm. I personally would be going back soon. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm going back to Southeast Asia.
This episode not brought to you by
Southeast Asia. By the Vietnam Tourism Board.
I definitely let to go there. I really want to go to Hong Kong someday soon, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
I'd love to see Hong Kong.
I do, too. Yeah. I really, the next big adventure, like me figure out how to get there and how to navigate is I've always had this dream of traveling to Japan because there's something about the Japanese culture that really fascinates me. And so I'd like to go there.
I just want to ride in the Tokyo subway.
Well, you know what's really funny is I have a friend that just came back from a 2-week vacation in Japan. And she said the great thing is because they have the high-speed rails, you can tour the entire freaking country, and it takes 25 minutes to an hour to get to somewhere way far away because the trains are so lightning fast.
Yeah.
Rather than hopping on a bus or a train or a regular train or an airplane. So that's another one that I'm thinking of. But we are running long on time here. So For all of our premium members, thank you for being premium members. We really do appreciate it. Stitcher is a great place, and we're happy to be here with them. We will, again, as always, be giving you Down the Rabbit Hole, even though I know this one's a little bit different, but hey, something different and fun and personal is always fun to share. So, do you two have anything else that you want to share for today?
No.
No, not really. I'm trying to think of a good snappy line from The Deer Hunter or something like that, but I can't think of anything. So, okay.
Bye. Nope.
Yeah, I guess bye-bye.
Why Deer Hunter? I want to know why The Deer Hunter.
Just don't question.
Okay. Thank you, guys, and it's been fun sharing this little bit of this extra special episode. And until next month, we'll talk to you later.
Ciao.
Bye, guys.